Good morning, church. I just realized, am I on? Let's see. There we go. Good morning again. I just realized I had everybody sit down and the scripture's up there behind me. So we're just going to call that just kidding and have everyone stand back up for me. We'll take a moment and we're going to read the Holy Word together this morning. We'll be reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. If you would, please read it with me. Oh, let me get out of the way here. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Have a seat. Thank you. Alan, do I need to move a certain place where it doesn't echo as bad?
Standing where your head is not against that.
Okay, so maybe a little up here a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here. I had originally intended on going a different direction this morning. When I first started this lesson series, I knew that it was going to be kind of a live lesson series. And just like I told you a couple weeks ago, everything that I've been studying and restudying in this series, God has been doing and redoing in my own life. So, yay, I get to have some personal life stories to share in the upcoming weeks. Particularly because we're looking at the challenges of faith. If you remember, we've started a lesson series that we're calling A Faith That Moves Mountains. And if we were to break these down into bullet point lessons, if you will, the first one is simply this. What is faith? Faith is believing that what God says is truth. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? But oftentimes we struggle with it. But it's believing no matter what, that what he says is truth and he will supply whatever is needed for his will to be accomplished, both in the things that he calls us to do and also the life that he calls us to live. Now, we said also a couple of weeks ago that faith has a beginning place. And that is when we accept our sonship in Christ, when we're saved, when we're born again. So faith has a beginning place, a step one, if you will, and it starts right there when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there. And so last Sunday, we looked at the life of Abraham and we said, now God knows that when faith begins, it has to grow. And so just like when you have a child, it's got to learn how to crawl and then step up and grow. So too, God leads us through things that are strategically designed, if you will, divinely designed, if you will, to grow you. And he will use challenges, he will use circumstances, he will use various life things in your life to bring that about. What I wanted to share with you this morning was going to go in the same direction, but I want to kind of go a little bit different direction today. Thursday last week, something really kind of incredible happened. And I woke up Friday and came into the office and I started working on things. And I just could not stop thinking about what God did on Thursday with Eastside. And so I'm going to hold on to what I was going to talk about, the challenges of faith, a little bit more this morning. We're going to talk about that next Wednesday. What I have to share this morning actually kind of is a lesson that goes in between those two. So we're going to call it Lesson B, if you will, in the series. But I want to go back to that first lesson one more time. Faith is believing that what God says is true, and he will supply whatever is needed for his will to be accomplished. What I'm going to share with you this morning is going to be a live illustration of that principle with Eastside Church. And I can't wait to share it with you because, honestly, it's a little bit of a praise report, and I kind of want to brag and love on my family a little bit this morning with what God is doing. But it also touches on challenges to faith. So like I said, it kind of fits in between both of those, and here's why. If you remember, I told you when I came here, I knew among a lot of things that God was going to call me to do and call our family to do, he gave me those three words, right? Upreach, inreach, outreach. You've heard me talk about this in the past. Upreach, he was going to call our family to come up higher with him and try to bring as many people to go up higher with him as possible, work on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Inreach, going deeper with one another in the church family, being one with one another. And then lastly, outreach, right? Reaching out, uniting our churches, uniting our town, uniting our city, uniting Christians for the mission of Jesus Christ. And I shared with you and I testified with you that that's been a big struggle of mine the last 3 years for different reasons. I've done different ones at different times, but the one that I wasn't sure about, and I kind of shuffled my feet on, and you know because several of you were in the group that I was doing, is outreach. Because I wasn't sure how exactly to do it. There's been all kinds of things that I've done in the past for outreach. There's been all kinds of false starts, if you will, for outreach, and some successes and some not so great successes. But I knew the word of the Lord when I came here was reach this whole town for Christ. I'm like, oh my goodness, how's that going to happen, right? Now, 12,000 people is not as bad as a million people back in Nashville, but still, 12,000 people is 12,000 people, right? So how are we going to do that? So I wasn't sure how God was going to do that. And part of the reason why I shuffled my feet was because I kept going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Do you see the problem with that? Amen? Now, Eastside came together. At the end of last year, we reformed our groups, and now, right now, we have 12 lights. And if you know when I say lights, when I'm talking about that, right? The software that we're using, when we assign a member to the outreach group, in the software, you are assigned, you're called a light, right? Jesus says you are the light of the world. So Eastside right now has 12 lights, 12 people that are working on outreach. And each of those 12, the software does this automatically, it assigns them the 40 nearest homes around that light. So do the simple math, 12 members of Eastside times 40 homes each. Right now, currently, Eastside is ministering to, praying for, and starting to reach out to about 480 people. I'm proud of that, by the way. I'm super proud of that. All right, give God a clap on that one, but I'm super proud of that. But here's the thing. I wasn't sure how we were going to get the 12,000. Because Eastside's not going to be able to do that one, right? Or at least I was thinking Eastside's not going to be able to do that one. So how are we going to get to 12,000? How are we going to approach the other churches in town? How receptive will they be? Receptible, something else. How receptive will they be? And will we be able to do this, all right? Well, I wasn't sure. Not long ago, I always say, if you want to know the front lines of whatever God's doing in your church, always look at the new people that he adds, right? Not long ago, Jimmy Sturvant came. You go ahead and come on up, brother. Jimmy came, and Jimmy has a background in ministry, and God's kind of got him in a place where God is reorienting his whole life. And Jimmy is a fella who has started having dreams and some visions. And not long ago, he had a vision the same week that I had a vision about lights. And some of you will remember that, okay? This ties into something I'm about to share with you in just a moment that I think will bless you. But Jimmy, if you would, I'm going to ask you to, and probably just step behind here so they can hear on this mic. Will you share with everyone again that little testimony that you gave not long ago?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's been about 2-3 months ago. I was praying in the spirit in my room at home, and suddenly this movie just started playing inside my head. It was a vision from God. And what I saw was 7 spotlights, searchlights. I saw it from 3 different areas. I saw it from ground level, I saw it from above in the sky, and I saw it over a map of Snyder. And these 7 spotlights were shining so bright, you know, like those searchlights do when they're searching for something, back and forth, back and forth. And then when I saw it over the map, I saw these 7 big spotlights, these 7 big searchlights, and they were shining. And then they started breaking off into smaller lights. And they went all throughout the town. And as they were going throughout the town, they started turning royal blue. Blue being the color of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was just infiltrating the city through these 7 spotlights. And what these 7 spotlights represented was different ministries and different churches in this town. And God gave me the word concerning 3 of those names, our church being one of those. Kyle and Kat Bell, who aren't here this morning, their minister that they have is one of those lights. Brother Andrew at Walking by Faith, he was one of those lights. And not that it was supposed to be just 7 exact, but every time I talk to Pastor Tim, he keeps bringing up it's almost 7 exact churches and ministries that are in this. And I don't know if he's going to share with you the churches on that. But when Tim asked me to get up and give this testimony of that vision that I had, the same day I got this shirt, a coworker of mine at Subway, their children were selling shirts to raise money for a camp that they're going to, and this came in that same day, and it says, "Get lit," Matthew 5:14, and I want to read that verse to you. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And I want to read that same verse from the Message translation, or the Message Bible is not really a translation. It says, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven."
Thank you, Jimmy. So Jimmy and I were starting to get to know each other a little bit, and we hadn't really talked a whole lot, but we were both weird because we were both talking about visions that we were having. And he did not know about anything that we had done with this already. He didn't know anything about the door knocking, the prayer walking we did last year. He didn't know that I was already planning to do a presentation at the Ministerial Alliance. So he knew none of these things. So obviously when I heard his dream or his vision, when I heard that, I was thinking, well, man, Lord, are you saying that maybe there's going to be seven that'll join? And if there's seven that'll join, well, praise God, that'll be really good for the mission. So I want to share with you, just this last Thursday, I had the opportunity to give this presentation over at the Scurry County Ministerial Alliance, and it went really well. And I wanted to share it with you and just kind of give you an overview. Now, you've heard some of these things before, but if you'll stay with me toward the end, I want to share with you something that I think will be a blessing. But basically, what I did is I went before the Alliance, and we had a big turnout this last week. I don't think anybody here was there. Sandy came with me, and she gave a little testimony, but she's not here, I don't think. But at any rate, we had probably upwards of, I would say most of the Alliance was there, at least. And that's saying something. So I said, you know, last year, God did a lot of things in Snyder to bring our community together. I think I mentioned some of this last week, but I mean, we had the prayer walks. That was one thing. We had the prayer for rain. That was another thing. We actually went back to give thanks to God for the rain. And that was another thing that brought our community together. We had the Kingdom Gathering event, which was the big one. And that was the first time we used this name. And the idea was, hey, let's just not be your church versus this church. Let's come together and be the Kingdom of Christ. And that was the first time we did that. So this vision was kind of born out of that spirit. And that's what I was sharing with them last Thursday at the Scurry County Ministerial Alliance. Now, I realize this is kind of small because it's a different format than what I shared, but I'm just going to read this out to you. What is this ministry? The Kingdom Gathering is a multi-church outreach movement starting right here in Snyder, Texas. It is an outreach movement. It is not a ministry. It is an outreach movement. Why do I choose that? Because it's not a noun. It's a verb, right? This is about getting involved with what Christ is already doing. We're just trying to be vessels of that. We just want to participate in whatever he's doing here in Snyder. What is the mission? The mission is the mission of Jesus, and that is to help every person in Snyder discover God, obey him, and disciple them to become Jesus-style disciple makers. Amen? And then I gave the scripture from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And again, I'm sorry. I realize this is very hard to read. I'll do it better next time. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." So here's the challenge, and this is what I said to the Ministerial Alliance. We have right now about 12,000 people in our town, give or take, right? We know that about 3,000 people attend church services in one of about 30 churches that are in this town. Some say we had about 50 before COVID. We did, actually. We had about 20 drop off after COVID. Didn't know that. That was interesting. But that means then that there are how many people that don't go to church anywhere? Simple math? About 7,000 people, okay? Now, what's that? If we have 12 and we go down 3, then we have 9 and the math is wrong on the board, but you get the point, right? I went to school for ministry, not math. That's horrible. I did that on Thursday too. It's a bunch, okay? But here's the point. That leaves about 9,000 people then who either, A, went to church and don't go to church anymore, which we see that happen a lot of times, right? People get burned or burned out or whatever it may be. And then the other group of people are the ones who just don't go anywhere whatsoever. Eastside Church of Christ, and this is what I told them, we're likely not going to reach every one of those people for Christ. Not likely. Now, if we got everybody on board who worked really hard the next 10, 12 years, we might be able to get it done, okay? But it's not likely. And then I looked at their churches and I said, and your church is likely not going to do it either, okay, by yourselves. So what's the vision? The vision is simple. It's to partner with churches of Cross Snyder, joined together as the body of Christ, in order to intentionally tell every person in town about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple mission. We can't do it alone, but together we can do it. So how? And this is what I've been saying in here for several weeks. It's very simple. We believe that if we combine fasting and prayer, Matthew 10 and Luke chapter 10, some people who are willing to do it and be vessels, and a little bit of technology to help us be accountable and to keep track of where we're going, then we believe that we'll be able to tell every person in Snyder about Jesus Christ. I want to show this video really quick. And I showed this video on Thursday as well. Go ahead if you would, Alan.
Am I a city on a hill? Am I a light in the darkness? Am I shining for everyone to see? How can we actually be a blessing? How can we bless one another? Every great move of God begins with prayer.
This move begins now.
With prayer, chains are broken. Prisoners are freed. Because of prayer, walls fall down, seas split wide, and doors open up. Every great move of God begins with prayer. This move begins here.
It begins at home.
Right on our own street. Who are your 5 closest people to you? What do they need? How are they hurting? What are they longing for? We're called to a mission field in our communities. Get the visibility that you've never had before.
And turn your neighborhood into your mission field.
The time is now to join nearly 126,000 people who've already began praying for their neighborhoods. With a simple app, you can find your neighbors
and begin
praying for them today. Bless begins with prayer. Listen, eat, serve, and story. Share your story. Adopt your community and daily pray for the people in your community. Sign up and start today. Join the movement. Won't you be my neighbor?
Amen. So the process is very simple. Let me just show you this really quick. Go back to Bless. It talked about begin with prayer, listen, eat, and different things. Don't worry about none of that. Sometimes that gets people a little bit confused and like, oh my gosh, do I have to do all these things? It's very, very simple. Do y'all remember back in the olden days we used to know our neighbors? Y'all remember that? I say olden days because I was raised by my great-grandmother. I distinctly remember sitting on the front porch of my great-grandmother's house and watching and waving at the neighbors who went by. And sometimes they'd stop and they'd come up on the front porch and we'd sit down and we'd chit-chat for a little while and we'd invite them for a little bit of corn and potatoes or whatever, right? That was a long time ago. We don't do that now because we're so glued to our technology. But what we're going to do is we're going to use a little bit of technology to get to know our neighbors again. And the important thing is just being intentional, right? Being intentional. So beginning with prayer, getting out there, eventually prayer walking, eventually getting to know your neighbors a little bit, going around saying, hey, can I pray for you for something? And then over time, what's going to happen is they're going to realize, wait a minute, there's somebody that I know who's in my neighborhood who knows me, they think about me, they pray for me, and in time, maybe even love on me a little bit and show agape love and do something for them. When they get to a place where they're ready to hear the word or the gospel of Jesus Christ, who do you think is going to be the first person they think of first because you've been intentional? Amen. Because you've intentionally chosen to be the pastor of your neighborhood and to tell them about Christ and be there for them. So that's the blessed process. And so I told them basically how it works. You sign up. This is literally what it looks like, okay? Every day, for those of us who are on the team, we turn on the app and we have a list of five names. It's 5 out of the 40, and we pray for those every single day, all right? And over time, we will do other things with them. We'll get prayer requests and so forth. But no matter what we do with every single prospect or every single person that we're praying for, we can keep track of our progress on there, and it filters into the entire system so that we know how our city is being covered at any given time. And I explained to them some of the things that the software does. And I'm not going to do this morning because I've already done this here. But we're able to see all the new people that move into the city. We've got about 10 to 15 people that are moving in every single month. We're able to talk to those people as they move in. There's also different things we can do with the demographics. And this is what I said to the churches. I said, listen, this software can do all kinds of things. Let's say your ministry wants to reach out to the young marrieds. Right, the ones that have just been married, and you want to do a marriage seminar for the young marrieds. With one click of a button, you can identify every young married couple in this town and send them a mailer, just like this. And I told the folks at the church, I said, now you can spend the money on this if you want to. We've already done this. The only thing that we're asking is to partner with you so that we can partner together in telling everyone about Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's say you've got a 65 and up age ministry. And you want to target just those folks and love on those people in our community. One click of a button, you can send it out. And I think it's like several, I can't remember, it's like almost 3,000 people, 65 and over. It's probably more than that, actually. But anyway, it's incredible what you can do. And I was just sharing some of the possibilities with them. So here's what I said Eastside is doing. We formed a group of 12 on-fire believers from Eastside who want to reach their neighbors for Christ. We have committed to praying every single Thursday for God to open up doors, prepare hearts, and add workers in the vineyard. We have committed to being the pastor for our own personal mission fields in our own backyards. And then I said, we meet every single month. And I just told them that, you know, we pray every Thursday. We don't meet every week, but we pray every Thursday. We fast every Thursday for the mission field and for the work that we're doing. And then every month on the first Thursday of the month, I said, then we come together. We compare notes. We encourage one another. We see how we're doing. We talk about strategies and other things that we can do to move forward in our own mission works. And then I showed them this map. If you look carefully, I don't know if you can see it or not, but this is a current map of Eastside and all 12 are our members. And you can also see the 40 houses that have been assigned to each one of them. So over the next few weeks, we're going to start prayer walking as it becomes springtime. And we've already encouraged one another and said that we're going to help each other prayer walk because some are less, what's the word? What's that? Ambulatory. That's a good word. Ambulatory. Some are less ambulatory and others are more ambulatory. We're going to use that word. Then we're going to work on intentionally getting to know our neighbors. And eventually the big goal is to what? Share Jesus, right? I mean, you're already sharing Jesus by intentionally loving on them and praying for them every day. Who else in their neighborhood's doing that for them? Amen? Probably nobody, but you are, right? Because you're showing Christ to them. So then I said, here's the goal. Eastside is currently working on evangelizing about 500 out of the 7,000. Actually, it's the 9,000 that need to hear about Christ. We need help with the other. Okay, we need help with the other. We've purchased the software package. We're willing to share information if you will help us in this mission. Help us build a map of our entire city. And I said, this mission is not about just Eastside. I said, this mission is also about you. And I said, if you will let me, I will help train your people to help grow your congregation because it serves the one goal of reaching people for Christ Jesus. I said, we believe that if we join together, we can accomplish the mission. And we want to seek unity in the church and to reach every person in Snyder for Jesus Christ. Okay. So I want to stop there for just a moment. And I had an opportunity to share kind of a personal testimony at the Minister Alliance. Brother Rick, would you come up for just a minute? I love how when we get on mission and we start engaging with our neighbors, you start really engaging with other people's stories, don't you? And I asked Brother Rick if he'd come up because out of all the ones who have been doing this for the last several weeks and months and years, honestly, for you guys, you have some testimonies to share of how this has not only impacted you but impacted others. So I thought you might share just a couple of words.
First of all, I want to state that there's no way I can tell you everything that has happened. So I'll just share one real quick. Two doors down from me, there is a house that had been occupied by an elderly couple. He was in poor health. I had spoken with her several times and was convinced they were Christian people. They have since moved to a retirement center, and so their house was sold a few months ago, or say months ago. It's probably been closer to a year now. And I had driven up and down the street, noticing that there was a company truck in the driveway from time to time. And I thought, I need to get by there and meet those people. Well, I finally did, maybe a month ago, and was pleasantly surprised. I have been on door-knocking campaigns in the past, and usually it's kind of an arm's-length relationship because they don't know that they want what you're selling. So I was real surprised when the lady in this house invited us in, because we have had that experience in the past. But this was kind of different because it was the first time we'd ever met them. But she invited us in. We got her name, met some of the other family members, and just felt like that, you know, that was what we were designed to do, was to meet them, begin understanding something of their life story, and then making connections. So we didn't stay there long, maybe 15 minutes. In that 15 minutes, we found out that her son is in a relationship with a young lady that used to come here because her mother, or excuse me, her aunt, her great aunt, had invited her to Eastside. This has been years ago. She was just a child then. Now she's grown. That was a connection that we had not anticipated. But as we left, we were under the impression or were told that she was expecting a child and that that child was due to be born within the next couple of months. So a couple of weeks ago, Marsha and I decided to buy a gift card. We went back to that home. We knocked on the door again. We're invited in. We presented them with a gift card and we said, look, we don't know what your baby might need, but we think you will know what she needs most. So we're giving you this gift card so that you can buy what you need. That's all it was. But what Tim is saying is absolutely true. All of this stuff up here is abstract. When you put feet on the ground, that's when it becomes real. When you put words in your mouth, that's when it becomes real. And so through that little bit of building a relationship, we're anticipating a greater investment as time goes along. And we've met other people in our community, people that I used to work with. I didn't even know lived over here. But I'm just telling you, you have your world expanded because we're getting out of the house. Yes, it's important to pray for these people, but it's much more meaningful to have a relationship with them. Okay.
Please, go ahead. So, you want to come up here so I can hear you a little better?
Everybody. So I've been praying for my community. And there's a young lady that lives at the end of my block. And I don't know her. I knew her. I didn't even know her name. I knew who she was, but I didn't know her. Well, her and her husband split up. So she's been living at that house by herself. The door's never open. I didn't know what was going on with her. So I stopped by several times. And I didn't go in and knock on the door. I just honked. Well, that wasn't working. So I got out of my car, knocked on her door. This girl was struggling so hard with heroin addiction, meth addiction. She had locked herself in that house. And all I can say is because I took action and got out of the car and knocked on the door and offered myself to be there to hear her, to listen to her, to cry with her, and now she's going to treatment March the 1st. So it wasn't me, you know, it wasn't me per se that did that, but because I was obedient in getting out of the car, because I didn't, like, for 10 times. I was like, well, if she ain't going to answer the door, you know, that's how my mind was. But finally the Lord just said, get out of the car, Max. I mean, it's just a few feet away. Knock on the door. Anyway, it worked. Thank you, Lord, for... Thank you.
And then on Thursday, when I was there with Sandy, she shared with at the Ministerial Alliance meeting a couple of other testimonies of stories just like that, of how God is using the lights here at Eastside to change our neighborhood and to change our city. So I could not be more proud. I'm going to wrap up here and just kind of share a little bit of a praise report. So after that presentation, we had, guess how many other people sign up to join us, Jimmy? Six other churches, making Eastside number seven. Seven other churches. And there they are up there. I know you can't read them. I'll read them off to you. Snyder First Assembly, Mandy Pena, Grace Fellowship, Ryan Ford, His Joy Ministries, Perlene Nolan, St. Elizabeth Catholic Church, Mary Davis, Wild Church, Tony Wofford, Stonewater Church, Cody Wall. And I believe there's about three or four other congregations that want to talk a little more, have some meetings, and then possibly get on there. Now, I told you earlier, I don't do math, and I did this, and I realize it's math, so the numbers are all wrong, okay? But you're going to get the spirit of the math. Are you ready for this? Okay, Eastside currently has about 12 members who are serving on the outreach team. Every member has been assigned 40 nearest homes. We got that down, right? That's how it works. You get the 40 nearest homes assigned to you. That's your mission field. Eastside is currently praying for and engaging about 480 households. The math is good so far. All right? So that's quite a number of people, guys. I don't want to minimize that. That's a lot of influence for a little church, right? And what does Jesus say? A little goes a long way with him, right? If you have faith as small as a grain of what? A mustard seed, you're going to say to this mountain, move. Well, watch this. This is fascinating to me. Eastside is going to help. Now, this is what we're going to start doing over the next few weeks. We're going to help those other six churches. We're going to train them in the same things that we've been doing. We're going to meet with them and let them come to our meetings. We're going to give them the same tools that we've got in our toolbox. And the goal is, now some will have more and some will have less, but the goal is to get every one of them to have at least 12 lights in their groups as well, okay? So seven total churches, 12 lights, that's about 84 lights. Well, guess what, church? If you assign 84 lights, 40 homes, that's about 3,360 homes. That's amazing, amen? Now, how many people did we say that this town has that needs to hear the Lord? What's the number again? 9,000. About 9,000. I'm not great at math, but that's almost a third. It's give or take a little bit, right? What will happen if every single person stays committed to their 40, prays for their 40, intentionally picks one or two a week to try to go talk to? Eventually, over time, over the next, I don't know how long it'll take, 2 years, maybe three, I don't know. But intentionally, Eastside Church of Christ is leading the way to tell every person in Christ about Snyder. I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of that. So I just wanted to share that with you all this morning. So if you'll join us in this mission, the sign-up sheet is in the back here, okay? But just put your name down, and I'll meet with you, and I'll show you how to get started. I want to close here. The sun rises on east side. That's right. That's right. Okay, I want to stop here. I am calling a citywide fast on Thursday, all right? Why are we calling a fast? Well, because now we have six other churches that are involved. So now I'm asking the leaders that are a part of this to fast with us, and we're calling a 24-hour fast. Now, it's in your bulletin. Every Thursday, we commit as a church to praying and fasting for the things that are going on in our church, especially for the outreach. Amen? So it's in our bulletin. It's something that's expected, but I want us to be very intentional about fasting this coming Thursday. Not only for that, but also to prepare us for next week's lesson. We have left off with Jesus. He has received his sonship. He understands who he is. He has an open heaven with the Father. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him like a dove. But if you remember where we left off the story, it says that the Spirit told him to go out into the wilderness and to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights. Now, I realize fasting is not talked about, nor is it taught much in the modern day church. It needs to be. Let me ask you a question, church. He's our master, amen? Did Jesus expect his disciples to fast? He actually did. If you remember, the book of Hebrews says that he, the Son of God, learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And one of the things that he intentionally did from time to time is he fasted. So if he fasted and he's the way, the truth, and life, if he's the path, if he's the model, if he's the thing through which we follow, if you will, then if he fasted, then we probably should too. Amen. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, not if, but when, and he says, when you do it like this. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Why do we fast? Well, I want us to do it live this Thursday in preparation for the sermon on Sunday. How's that for homework, right? I want you to not eat for 24 hours. Now listen, if you have a medical reason why you can't do that, don't do that. If you don't know if you have a medical reason you think you might, ask first. Amen? But why do we fast? We fast because it is a tool that we use in order to say no to sin. Does that make sense? If I say to you, I'm going to run a marathon next week and it's 5 miles, but I can't even run outside to the front porch or to the mailbox, I better start training, right? I have to get my body ready to be able to do the thing that we're called to do. Withholding food from yourself is a tool, a spiritual tool that you can use to make your flesh raise its ugly head so that you can then say no to your flesh. Well, guess what? If you learn how to say no to your flesh in one area of your life, you will learn how to say no to your flesh in other areas of your life. Do you see how it's a spiritual tool? So do it with us on Thursday for two reasons. In preparation for Sunday, because we're going to talk about fasting and Christ and the challenges to faith there. But also as one body as we get ready to expand this vision for reaching the lost for Snyder. Amen? Okay, let's pray and then we'll close. Father, I thank you for this day and for the blessing of life and for the blessings that you give us. Lord, I pray for all the things that we've talked about. I am so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for the eldership and for the leadership here. And Lord, just for listening to you and realizing that I didn't have the answers last year. I thought that it was going to be just Eastside, that we were going to have to try to figure out how to do this alone. But Lord, thank you for expanding that vision and helping us to see that you're not calling us to do this as one body, but you're calling us to be the body of Christ in Snyder, more and more and more. So God, I pray that we as the bride will make ourselves ready and that we will take a hold of the mantle that you have given us to lead the way, to be the lights that you've called us to be in our city. Help us to be those lights, Father, for each other. Help us to be those lights for our families. And help us to be those lights for our spouses. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. We pray, Father, for the ones that couldn't be here today for whatever reason. We bless your holy name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond to the invitation, we give this opportunity every single week. Come forward right now as together we stand and sing.